Oh, okay. Are we on? Can y'all hear us okay? Okay, it is now 3:05, and we're going to get ready to get started with this transitional meeting with District 8. Well, we'll say 7, 8, 10, and 12. No, you invited a few at the table. Okay, so we'll start to my left. Introduce yourself, please.
Randy White, District 12.
Jimmy Peluso, District 7.
Jacoby Pittman, District 10. Okay, so we're going to jump right in. The reason why I wanted to have a transition meeting, one, this is the first time that we've ever had to do this because of redistricting, and we are switching and right across the street from each other in some cases, and so I thought it would be good before we start our body of work next week and share with you what I have, and then maybe you all can share what you have in your districts that we will now be taking over or giving out, however we want to look at it. So what I did is kind of went through what I had for District 8 at the time, and of course you all know that Councilman White and I shared districts, and of course you and I shared districts, and so what I'd like to do is maybe share what I have. And Jimmy, the new part, and at the time when we scheduled this meeting, I just want to say that publicly, you hadn't came on yet, so we were just kind of looking how we could transition and do what we can do. But now that you're here, you can give some input in, because some of these do involve District 7.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to start out to share with what impacts all four of us at this time. And one would be the district vision and comprehensive implementation plan for the corridors. And for those of you that were on last year, we have been working with small businesses on the corridors. And so now, Jimmy, part of Myrtle Avenue is yours. And of course, everything that's north of me is District 10. And so what we've been doing with that, to give you a quick update, is that the City Council approved $750,000 to work with the small businesses. And up where you are, there were two, possibly three businesses that we were working with to try to get them some of the money for a facade. And two of them are already in the pipeline, or they filled out the application. The other one is completing theirs right now. So I can give you that information so you can see what they're asking for, and hopefully we can continue that on, because some, as you know, $750,000 doesn't go a long ways, and I'm hoping that we can go back and get some additional funding for those small businesses that deserve, and to be able to bring some economic infusion back to the community. The next one is the retention ponds. I think all of you all have heard what's been happening. It's now summertime, and one of the other council member and I sponsored legislation, and I think all of us have experience. I know you and I have, and especially with the new developments in 7 as well, there are retention ponds there, so we want to be proactive in making sure that we can continue this citywide retention pond, so that not only happened in the districts, but it's really countywide. So that is something that impacts us. And another one is district ambassadors. I will be happy to share my sign-in sheets with you all, so you will have that with the new district that you're doing, so they can be abreast in what is going on in your district. So I think that's what I have for the three of us. For District 7, J.P. Smalls Park, there's been funding allocated for that with upgrades, and I think also a new museum for the Durkeyville. So you can get some of the legislation and what is added to that. Okay, so you're aware of that. Let me see what else I have for 7. I think that's all I have for you, other than JTA has a robust program with bicycle lanes and updating some of the sidewalks and things like that. Most of it has been done, Councilman, and you can get some more information from JTA. I would ask you to set up a meeting with Nate Ford and his team, and they're awesome in terms of giving information. And for 8, and again, all of us could do this as well, is a countywide beautification plan, specifically for the corridors to get that going. We had a major cleanup plan. It's called Put Your Trash in a Can, Not on Our Land campaign, which we all, again, the corridors intersection. We did one a couple of months ago, and I'd like to do it annually with all of the districts, and maybe not at the same time, but maybe we do the west side and the north side first, and then we do the south side and Mandarin and all of that. But, you know, we've seen a lot of trash in the urban core, and we want to make sure that the residents can participate instead of complaining about what's going on. But if we did something citywide, I think we'll get a lot of participation. Let's see. Randy, what I have for you is the upgrades that was for Garden Park. I'm not sure if Parks and Recs is completed with everything. I know there was an update with the baseball and the parking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the residents, as you know, are very active in that area. So we want to make sure. The only other thing that was a big issue was the train track blockage. The schools was complaining. You know, sometimes it feels like you complain about it, they fix it for a few months, and then it comes back. The only other big thing that's coming next week on the 20th, it goes to planning. A few storage is being considered, and in our last city council meeting, we had several residents come, and they're very concerned about a fuel storage being there.
With that in mind, I have Jason and his team.
Okay, great.
Was in my office, and if y'all want to reach out to him, he'll reach out to y'all. I will say, from the information we got at the last council meeting to actually seeing it on paper, it is different, a little different. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad, because I haven't decided at this point. But it getting all the information from both sides would be helpful. So I'm sure they'll be sitting. If he wants to say a few things.
Yeah, I would love for him to
say. That's why, since he was in my office, I thought now's a perfect time.
That would be perfect.
Because I know you've got a lot of calls. And y'all was tickled to say it was mine now.
Yeah, we're ready to hand it off.
I had got that part.
Well, good afternoon. Jason Gabriel, law firm of Burt Foreman, here on behalf of the applicant, which is Belvedere Terminals, and actually the property owner, the Elias family. And this is that 100 acres that's just north of Garden Street, to the northwest of, the outer bound of 295. It's bounded on the west side with the, JEA transmission corridor, and on the northeast part of it with the Norfolk Southern Railway. And so it's pegged for a potential fuel storage distribution center, a cutting edge, state-of-the-art facility. But before we even get to that, there's a lot, down the road that we'll have to talk about in terms of that project. What this is a transmittal of the land use to take it from agriculture to light industrial. And the project itself, there have been a lot of issues that have been brought up, and I think part of this is just educating folks. Not everyone's always going to be happy, but the three main buckets of issues that have come up, I'm sure you're getting emails and whatnot, have to do with truck and traffic you know, distribution and transportation issues with that area. And we have answers and resolutions for that. Safety concerns, which again, very, very addressable resolutions for that. And then just sort of the use itself and what it is. And I don't mean to, you know, oversimplify it, but it really is no different than a very large gas station. It's the same products that'll be there, no refinement, pure storage and distribution, and it's taken advantage of the railway that's right there. Be that as it may, and we'll have plenty of time to talk further about those details, I do think, and Ms. Pittman, we met, I think, several weeks, probably months ago now, early on. You put us in touch with a couple of interested stakeholders, Mr. Sam Silcox, Betty mm-hmm. Greiner. Mm-hmm. We reached out. We had a really good, productive meeting. It's been a little bit of time. And now we're aware of several others that right. are the St. James Place, I think, mm-hmm. is one first and foremost. So, and we got with, and by quirk of redistricting as of July 1st, and I guess that's the impetus for this meeting, that has now, that is now placed in the geography of Mr. White's district. Mm-hmm. Although I think, you know, your districts are kind of in the relative proximity. So what we're going to do is we had a good productive meeting. You know, I'll get with you, Ms. Pittman, Mr. Peluso, and Mr. Gaffney. You're the only one I think I haven't met in person. I know your father, obviously. I'll get with you in due time. But what we're planning on doing is having a town hall meeting to address. I think it just will go a long way with at least getting information out there firsthand. Mm-hmm. So what we talked about was reaching out to perhaps the St. James Place president, I think it's Michael Byrd, if that's correct. Is that
sounds yes.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. were trying to pinpoint, and I think he was one of the speakers of Planning Commission. I'm going to reach out to Mr. Silcox and Ms. Greiner again, because those were productive meetings. And I think what we're going to do is we just need to have a town hall meeting and have that education. Y'all are going to be, you know, more than welcome to be there. Mr. White, as a district council member, will be there. We're going to have some fire safety people, our whole team, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I just want to assure you that we will do the education, we will do the town hall. We'll probably have to, we'll look at about possibly deferring that Planning Commission meeting for now so we can have that meeting, the town hall meeting, mm-hmm. and, you know, again, discuss this further and then go down the road
okay,
after that.
Okay, so are you talking okay. about the meeting on the meeting that's scheduled on the 20th?
I think, yeah, you referred to the Planning Commission meeting, which
yes.
is next Thursday, a week
right.
from today on the 20th.
Right.
And we had talked about, I think, probably best thing to do is defer that.
Okay.
If you want to let your constituents know so that we can have this town hall meeting.
Okay.
And we're probably going to try to do this town hall meeting very, very soon, as soon as we can, with people to be available. But that's the ticket. Mr. White, if that, I don't know if
I asked them to defer till we have a meeting so
okay.
it don't look like we're doing something
right.
before we had a meeting.
Right.
And people need to
right.
have their concerns.
And I do, you know, think it's important because it is a legitimate concern. There's like three sets of people on the west side, because the one that came to the meeting at the last council meeting weren't the same people we normally talk to. And so we need to hear all of the voices and what their main concerns are. And I think the reason why it's so fresh is because we've had trains that have derailed and near a certain area. So we want to make sure that is taken care of before we move forward. And also, you know, there's issues with the blockage. I want to make sure we talk about that with CXX and Southern. You know, they kind of blame each other. And that area where the train tracks are, where they put the trucks, I mean, the freight onto the train, is really too small. It's really, I'm sure you've gone over there, it's outdated. And so unless they're looking also to expand that yard area, I'm not sure how far it is, the proposal of the project. I'm not sure how close it is to where the trains hook on. But I just think it's real important that you listen to the folks. And, you know, they're concerned about the fumes, you know, coming from the fuel area. And I know you said that it's state of the arts, but I just want to make sure as I hand it off that we've done everything that we need to do on this side, and I know Councilman White will make it happen.
Sure, absolutely. And everything you brought up, very important, and then some, and there is an answer and a solution to all of this, and mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of having that conversation with the community. So, and that's what our intention is to do here as soon as possible. And we'll keep you posted on that, obviously.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Yes. I know one of your teammates has a flight to catch,
yep.
So yeah. Thank you for coming.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And we wrapped up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So that's all I have on my side. And I just, you know, I know that you all have, I know, Councilman Gaffney, you have some things. And I just want to be able to pick up where you left off at. And saying, I know you, new kid on the block, but you may have some things you need to share with him as well for District 8.
Yeah, so as the new councilman of District 8 and a former councilman of District 7, I got a few projects. The most important project, of course, it'll be going to you, Councilman Pittman, is the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
It's already passed. However, the community have contacted an attorney, and they are in the process of suing the city. They're trying to stall it, and they try to stop the liquor store from opening up. Right now, the liquor store is projectedly supposed to open in the next couple of weeks. So the community pretty much, and the attorney pretty much contact me once a week to give me an update. I make sure I email them with your information so we could switch all the information over. But that's the biggest thing, is the liquor store. The other concerns I have in my district is the medical examiner building.
Y'all just give me all of the stuff. I ain't gonna get no sleep.
You seen District 7?
Yeah. So this is District 7.
It's pretty big district. Yeah. I'm not sleeping.
This is District 7 going to District 8. So the community is opposed to the liquor store. The community is opposed to the city morgue at Chowell. It's already passed. It went before city council. The community is, they don't want it. You know, they're ready to put up a fight. They're willing to do whatever it takes to stop this city morgue from opening up. It's the same community that's against the liquor store that's against this city morgue from opening up as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested in a town hall meeting. They want to stop. So those are the two biggest, you know, projects that, you know, I left in District 7 going into District 8 that you'll have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Councilman Peluso, it's no big projects, of course, downtown, you know, with the Jaguars, the stadium.
Were the Jaguars trying to build a new stadium?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard.
Yeah, but no, it's a lot of development going on downtown, but there's no major projects going on, not on the east side, that's been brought to my attention. Yep. So, okay. You're looking in good hands. I mean, at least, you know, compared to Councilman Pittman. Yep.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen anything that you have any questions or anything about?
So, not a ton of questions. I it's just that I've been meeting a lot with community leaders, stakeholders throughout District 7, and we are supposed to have a meeting next week as well to kind of talk about our transition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very different one from you guys having existing districts to go to a new district. For me, I really am the newbie. I'm a baby compared to you guys. But so some of the things that I wanted to talk about up here, and why I even asked Ms. Suzanne Pickett to attend as well, mm-hmm. from the Historic Eastside CDC, mm-hmm. is I've been speaking to a lot of folks, not only on the east side, but also Durkeyville, mm-hmm. Newtown, Nixontown, and I have a meeting with Paul Tutwiler with the Northwest CDC, someone mm-hmm. who I'm sure all of us are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm going to be pushing for in the budget this year, and again, I don't know how to do it yet because I'm still so new to this process, but I really want to find a line item for CDCs.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did I campaign on strengthening our neighborhoods, and I think all of us have districts that have old neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
that need revitalization mm-hmm. and with gentrification
mm-hmm.
and a process for making sure we're, you know, cleaning up blighted parts of the neighborhood while also strengthening small businesses. I mean, we've talked about corridors in here already. So I have a lot of thoughts on corridors moving forward. And so, like, I don't know if this is the proper venue
sure.
for that, but I just want, knowing that we all probably have CDCs in our district, I mean,
Randy, do you have any CDCs?
Fiction, too.
Well, okay.
The new Project West of Cecil will have, but that's the only one.
And that's, so
I... But that's new development, so it's everything.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh,
I no, I do not have the issues that you have with your CDCs. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've got CDCs, we've got CHOTOs, mm-hmm. and so I'm really hoping to see...
You know, I haven't spoken, well, because I don't know what the process is for the budget yet. I know that Mayor Deegan is going to be speaking about it on Monday, mm-hmm. and then moving forward, as you guys are all on the Finance Committee, I just kind of want to bring it up to your attention. I really would like to see a dedicated, or not dedicated funding, but a line item for CDCs. I have Suzanne here in case she would like to speak, yeah. maybe about some of the projects that they're doing out in the east side.
While we do have you here, Ms. Suzanne, one of the, I got a lot of concerns and questions in reference to the soccer stadium on the east side. A lot of constituents is opposed to the soccer stadium. They rather entertainment. I know we passed it, City Council, we passed it. From my understanding, the Armada soccer team, they're supposed to be building, I think, soon. They have until when?
I think the first of the year.
Oh, the first of the year.
According
to a lot of the constituents and the residents on the east side was opposed to the soccer stadium. I did get a lot of concerns, so I'm not sure what's going on with the soccer stadium. If you could help us out, that would be good.
Oh, okay. So, yes, the Armada Stadium is designated on our side north of the Matthews Bridge Expressway, actually in the east side on the city property. But they've made adjustments to that based on those concerns, and the soccer stadium is now supposed to be a soccer entertainment district with retail on the bottom. And a possible housing opportunity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we have had several meetings in the community regarding the soccer stadium with the Armada. They're really good about coming out and answering those questions. So we hadn't had those oppositions. So if there's anyone that we have not spoken to, we'd love to get their information, or you can give them our information so we can speak to them.
And it's prior to me coming as a councilman in District 8, so this is like a month old, you know, concern, so maybe mm-hmm. it's addressed.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Am I allowed to keep her up there for a minute?
Yeah.
So, Suzanne, if you don't mind kind of speaking about what the mission of the Eastside CDC is, kind of the work that you've already been doing, and if there was a line item in the budget, what that could do for your CDC and potentially for other CDCs. I know I've got the North Riverside CDC, which I think was a part of District 9. It might have
mm-hmm.
touched
nine.
A piece of 8.
It was
no,
nine.
None of it? Okay.
Okay.
And then, you know, we've also got, obviously, Northwest CDC. There's a bunch of them in this city. I know Durkeyville with Pastor Harris
mm-hmm.
Also has a CDC.
And Northwest Metro.
Metro North and
yep.
Grace
yeah.
and Truth, mm-hmm. yes.
So there's so many groups that want to enhance and revitalize their neighborhoods, and I feel like this is such a no-brainer approach if we properly fund them or at least give them mm-hmm. some city funding.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be cool. But if you can kind of speak to what a CDC does, what a CHOTO
yes.
does, what you guys have been doing, and why it's so important.
So our CDC, Historic Eastside CDC, we formed in 2016 in an effort to support and revitalize the Eastside neighborhood with all of the investments that's happening around it, including the stadium development. But as a community development corporation, our goal is to protect the community. So we offer home repair. Our goal was to assure that the indigenous residents of Eastside were not displaced.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Eastside, in all of our neighborhoods, that displacement during development is not an option. It doesn't have
right.
to be an option, but to find a way for what we call gentrification,
mm-hmm.
development of these communities inclusive of that indigenous community. So in response to that, the urgent need was home repair. So we, our first year, of home repair in just 2022, we repaired 28 homes for seniors in the Eastside, aged 56 to 93. We're now in our second year of home repair, where we're going to do, we're repairing 14 homes in 2 churches on a model block. And then also we have received funds from United Way to do another additional 15 homes, which we started 5 of those.
Mm-hmm.
So housing is very important, housing sustainability in the community. We've also received the 10 properties from the city. Thank you guys very much. We've just received those donations agreements where we're going to build new construction and affordable homes in that community development corporation, and also a CHOTO, the Community Housing Development Organizations, where we now become developers. So in 2016, I actually became a community developer as well, from community real estate developer. And that, too, was in response to the need in the Eastside neighborhood. I'm a resident. I live there. I've been back there for 10 years. But we have two offices on the Eastside now in the corridor. One office, we serve social services, the construction-ready program, the home repair program. Our social services program is out of that office. And on the next block in the old ILA building, we have a cultural center. But right now, we have summer camp for youth, coding, arts, and music in our recording studio. And we are building a teen room with funds from the Community Foundation to get the teens off the street. We're on the corner on A. Philip Randolph, formerly Florida Avenue, where there's still a lot of violence in that area. So in addition to that, on the east side, we cover Albert Street all the way back to Long Branch, and then to the river, and our boundary kind of abut some in some places cross Springfield.
Yeah.
I'll get a map next time.
Yeah, I got a call last night from a resident on the east side asking me about was in District 7 or District 8, you know, because I lost part of my district District 10.
So let me tell you, so it's easy. So MLK is what separates us.
Okay.
So I have the north, anything, I go all the way down to, Phoenix.
Okay.
And down to Talleyrand.
Okay.
So you go across or underneath, then you have that side.
Yep.
So you're now Phoenix, so out 21st. Is that still 7 or is that?
It's 10.
Oh, that's 10 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so just
so
think
then you're, so MLK. So we're together as well?
No. You're like on the...
By churches.
By churches, that's where I am.
Oh, by churches,
so I'm
okay.
Churches going up to Panama Park.
Okay.
Yeah, so what separates the east side from the east to the... I guess from the north to the south is the MLK.
Okay.
So you have where what's the cigar place? Swisher?
Swisher, uh-huh.
You all are it's from Swisher all the way downtown to Brooklyn or whatever. And I am from Phoenix Avenue all the way to Trout River.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Phoenix Arts District.
295.
So the Phoenix Arts District, is that in your district? That's your district,
Phoenix,
too.
Yeah, because I think it's on the other side.
Yep. Yeah. South of MLK.
I'll look at a map. Yeah, we'll get a map and look at that. But and I appreciate Jimmy working with us, advocating for all the CDCs, because we see the CDCs as partners to the city.
Okay.
Partners.
Now, you're going to have to wrap up. You and had your 3 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't know we had my apologies.
You know, partners in the work in the city that's boots on the ground, mm-hmm. that's really working with these residents to increase and sustain their quality of life. And
right.
also, really quickly, as it relates to corridor, allocating funds for our small businesses. We still have 13 businesses on the A. Philip Randolph corridor,
mm-hmm.
and we are heavily threatened with displacement because of all of the development around us. So we really need that support as well. Thank you
so much, because I grew up on the east side. I know what east side used to look like, and I'm hoping the next thing will be to northwest and over. And you have a lot of development in residential and some on the corridor, like Pritchard
mm-hmm.
and Schindler and mm-hmm. all of that area. So thank you so very much, and I'm so glad that you are supporting neighborhood development, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to bring our neighborhoods back. And that we're all on the same page. So I'm with you with the corridor. If we can talk to the mayor's office about what's on the east side, also is needed on the northwest side, and it will transform the communities.
And that's what I was thinking about, getting a line item for CDCs. It touches all of our districts, and now it's about to touch District 12 and obviously all the at-larges. You know, we get something for them. We show an excellent example of what a CDC can do to revitalize a neighborhood. And I love development. I love the work that's happening downtown. There's great stuff in Brooklyn and La Villa, but for those individuals that lived there, you know, since the 1920s, you know, they've been displaced, and we don't want to see that in a lot of our city as we continue to grow. So we could all grow together, and I think the CDCs can be a major part of that. I'm excited for it, and I do hope that the mayor has it in her budget, and if not, that
and
some of the people here can
help. And we may need to have another meeting, because, again, some of the other things that's happening, and I just want to bring it to your attention, is that we have developers coming in, buying up whole neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And we just can't have that because a lot of the people who live in those communities can't move anywhere else,
right.
And they can't afford the rent.
Who can afford? Yeah,
they can't afford the rent. So it's almost like moving them out, and there's really no place else we can
for
move.
Them
we
to
need
go.
To. Yeah. We need to invest in areas, spend some of that CDBG money, HUD money to really help the community. So I'm happy that you're here and that we can work together on that.
I'm happy that I'm here too.
And the retention pond, because you know that also comes with retention ponds in those areas.
And one last thing, we received our historic designation as of July 3rd. So Eastside is officially a historically designated neighborhood.
And that is worth an applause. That's a huge achievement. Yeah. Thank you for that.
And also, we just passed legislation last time too about endangered buildings. $100,000 up to $100,000. So we could also be looking at those areas because they are in those communities.
Is that for residential properties or is it just for commercial?
It's outside of the downtown area from what I understand.
Right.
Yeah, like commercial buildings, I think it is.
Thank you guys. I appreciate you letting me come up here. I do. I know it was a last minute addition.
You just came in him bogarted on me. But it's a good thing. It's a real, real good thing. I like that.
Hey,
Randy, did you have anything you wanted to share with him other than?
No, actually, what I lost was picked up in 14. So, I mean,
okay.
I just went, I took all yours and what I give up was and we've already talked to Mr. Johnson about what I had going on.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much. Let me know if we need to meet, especially I want to talk about the development piece and using some of the models that you all have on the east side potentially to come over onto the northwest quadrant area, which would be great.
There's no question. I mean, I think we could really strengthen our neighborhoods, and I don't think it will cost a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will just cost
a
good – it costs attention to detail, good community leaders – like Suzanne and like Pastor Harris and many others and Paul, and the city coming in and putting in a couple dollars. I think we get a lot out of it for only a couple million.
Yeah, I wanted to ask one other question. Do you all do anything with the waterways that's on the east side, the little tributaries and?
Groundwork Jacksonville.
Uh huh.
And I have a meeting with Nancy Powell on the river for
activation. Uh huh.
So we're just starting that work.
So I'd love to talk to you about that because we also have. Rebalt River, Trout River, and the Moncrief Creek. And I'd love to bring some attention and even go on a river trip. And I know, Randy, you probably don't have anything on the west side, do you, in terms of where they intersect? But if you and I and you can talk about the river, the health of the river, and the environmental piece and how we can help. Save the life.
Absolutely. I am the chair of the Waterways Commission. So,
No, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. I'll open it up for any questions or comments at this time. Courtney, I'd love for you to come up and talk to us since you have at least four of us.
That works.
Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Courtney Wesley. Mm-hmm. I am the Director of Government Affairs for Duval County Public Schools. And I look forward to working with you all. I was formerly the district director for Congressman Al Lawson, so I can provide any insights and historical background from that perspective as well. But if there are any issues, I would love to schedule some meetings just to update you. We had a huge legislative session. What you're really going to hear about is school start times, and that's really going to impact your community. So I'd love to be a resource for you.
And thank you for coming, Courtney, because I also think that we had talked about meeting with school board members and city council to have at least two meetings a year regarding what's happening on your side of the street and what's happening on our side of the street and how we can work together. So thank you so much for coming today. Any other questions, comments? Meeting is adjourned, and I think, and thank you so much, Celestine, who is my new ECA.
Woo.
Yay, thank you.